Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, October 28th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Here are our top stories this evening. The strike by junior and middle-level government doctors continued today with no solution in sight to their grievances.
They are not aware of any doctors who have been deployed currently. I'm not aware of them. Maybe it's only that we've been very busy with various meetings that we have not managed to research whether there are any new doctors who have come.
Zambian President Michael Sata died in London yesterday, becoming the second head of state in Zimbabwe's northern neighbor to die in office.
This is sad news to the Zambian people, because this is now the second time when a sitting president dying in office. The Zambian people were also celebrating their 50 years of independence.
And MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Robert Mugabe should step down and pave way for fresh elections, saying the battle to succeed the 90-year-old Mr. Mugabe is now a major stumbling block to the country's development.
The strike by the 400-member Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association entered its third day today with no solution in sight. The junior and middle-level doctors in government hospitals are demanding a review of their salaries and better working conditions. Minister of Health, Permanent Secretary, retired Brigadier General Dr. Gerald Gwinji, says the government is considering deploying doctors from the army, Air Force and police should the situation continue to deteriorate. Air Force to get a comment from Health Minister Dr. David Parirenyatwa following his appeal yesterday, urging the doctors to remain to work were futile. But Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande says negotiations are continuing.
Yeah, I can say currently we are in the process of negotiating, and we've held a serious meeting with the minister yesterday, and at the moment we are giving feedback to our members on what the minister said to us. So we are just awaiting the feedback from our members so that we then get back to the minister and discuss on the way forward. But let me say that in the meeting there was a commitment by both parties, both the ministry and ourselves as doctors, to find each other and to quickly resolve this impasse, so that we avoid the unnecessary loss of life.
Were there any figures that were discussed between you and the Minister of Health?
Currently, we are not at the level of discussing exact figures. I think we agreed in the principle that there is need to change the conditions of service. So we are still trying to engage so that we come up with something that is practical and tangible.
As doctors, would you say you have all the equipment that you might need, or there are shortages? Tell us about the situation in hospitals.
There's an acute shortage of most equipment, drugs. You know, there are quite a lot of things which are not functional in the hospital. And we also discussed this, and we would want to see the conditions being changed.
So when do you think you are going to finish your consultations with your members?
I'm sure latest should be end of day tomorrow, and we'll try to seek to dialogue again with the minister officials on the way forward.
We also understand that the government wanted to bring in army and police doctors. Have they been deployed?
I'm not aware of any doctors who have been deployed currently. I'm not aware of them. Maybe it's only that we've been very busy with various meetings that we have not managed to research whether there are any new doctors who have come.
That was Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The United States government says it is up to Zimbabweans to pick their next leader in the event that President Robert Mugabe decides to leave office. A State Department spokesperson Yen Paske said this while responding to a question from a journalist at the department's daily briefings yesterday. A journalist wanted to know the U.S.'s view on First Lady Grace Mugabe's indication that she may be Zimbabwe's next leader when she recently said that there was nothing wrong with her aspiring to be the country's next president. Mrs. Mugabe has been in the news lately as she moves towards assuming the leadership of the ZANU-PF Women's League. In her Meet the People tour or rallies, she has been attacking Deputy President Joyce Mujuru for allegedly being corrupt and not fit to take over the leadership of ZANU-PF and the government from her aging husband. Paske said it is up to the people of Zimbabwe to hold their leaders accountable.
Well, on the first part of your question, our view continues to be that internal rules and party and a party constitution govern Zimbabwe's political parties, and party members should hold their leaders accountable for those rules. We value a democratic process and a result that is credible reflection of the will of the people. Obviously, it will be up to the people of Zimbabwe to pick their next leader and not the United States, and we're certain they'll weigh all the factors.
That was the State Department spokesperson Jen Paske in Washington, D.C.
Zambian President Michael Sata, nicknamed King Cobra for his sharp tongue, died yesterday at the King Edward VII Hospital, Central London, in the United Kingdom, where he was being treated for an unknown ailment. He was 77. He becomes the second Zambian president after Levi Mwanawasa also died in office in August of 2008 while seeking treatment in France. Zambian Cabinet Secretary Dr. Ronald Msika said in a statement that Mr. Sata died at around 11 p.m., surrounded by his family. The Zambian leader left Lusaka October 20th to seek medical treatment for an undisclosed illness. He was born 6 July 1937. His death, though, has complicated the succession matrix in Zambia.
Vice President Guy Scott has been appointed interim president for 90 days until a new election is held to choose Mr. Sata's successor. The Constitution of Zambia bars Mr. Scott from becoming the substantive president as his parents were not born in Zambia. Political analyst Shakespeare Hamauswa of Mulungushi University tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Sata's death has shattered Zambia, adding, however, that his demise did not come as a surprise.
From what I have observed so far, the death of Sata came not as a surprise because he was not feeling well, but it's sad news to the Zambian people because this is now the second time when a sitting president is dying in office. And the other thing is that the Zambian people were also celebrating their 50 years of independence. So it's really sad for the Zambian people and for all of us who are in Zambia. But the challenge that the death of Sata has left the Zambians with is the issue maybe on the succession.
Why is the succession issue problematic for Zambia?
For one to be a president, his or her parents should be Zambians. The current vice president, yes, he is a Zambian, but his parents are not all Zambians. So the constitution says when the sitting president dies, the vice president will take over for 3 months. Then thereafter, fresh elections will be conducted. By-elections for the presidential post will be conducted.
Tell us about Sata's legacy.
He's someone who managed to hold Zambians together, like what Kaunda did, and also understand that besides being a champion also of democracy, he is someone who was also pro-Pan-Africanism.
That was political analyst Shakespeare Hamauswa of Mulungushi University, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Zambia.
Uh, Public interviews for candidates vying for the 6 vacant judicial positions at the High Court kicked off in Harare today. The interviews come a few months after the Judicial Services Commission conducted another set of public interviews for candidates gunning for the Supreme Court. The new selection process is in line with Section 180 of the new Constitution. 46 candidates will be interviewed for the only 6 vacant positions, according to the Judicial Commission. We reached a lawyer, Job Sibanda, who explains the advantages of the new selection procedure.
In the current procedure of actually subjecting these prospective judges to this process, in my own view, is a positive move, a positive step. I think it's a transparent process where the candidates actually attend before a panel in public, and they are subjected to those questions, and then the public is able to make opinions or to assess the capabilities of the prospective judges. In my own view, I think it's a better process than the previous process where judges were simply headhunted and provided that they accepted the appointment. There were no public interviews, as it were, and no one knew the capability for the appointed judge.
In other words, the process has transparency and competitiveness.
Definitely, definitely. I think that was basically one of the reasons why the process was changed. I'm sure you will be aware that the same process is used in other countries as well. South Africa uses the same thing.
That was lawyer Job Sibanda on the line with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo.
The Zimbabwe Revenue Authority says it missed its $972 million target for the 2014 third quarter, managing to collect $884.5 million in revenue by the end of September. Latest statistics from the authority show that ZIMRA missed its target by about 9%. Much of the revenue collected by ZIMRA is spent on civil servant salaries and other government needs. Economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says the government is failing to realize its target because of too many agents collecting revenue that eventually is failing to reach the fiscus. He speaks with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
It simply means that we are not doing anything to really address the real challenges that the economy is facing. We are not really focusing on expanding the sources of revenue for government. For instance, if you look at Zimbabwe, we have got a very unusual situation whereby out of the 4 normal pillars that government usually uses to raise revenue, such as external aid assistance, deficit financing, such as reprioritization and enhancing the efficiency of expenditures, we are currently standing on one leg, which is domestic resource mobilization. In other words, we are just relying on taxation. So if you look at the economy, with the deindustrialization, with the collapse of industry and the loss of many jobs, the fiscal base has actually been diminishing over time.
What can be done to address this problem?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is to go back to our so-called fiscal space diamond, which has got 4 pillars that I've highlighted. Currently, since 1999, Zimbabwe has not been able to leverage overseas development assistance because we defaulted on our debt payments and also on our arrears clearance. So in essence, therefore, we are not getting any new lines of credit from the international community, and in particular, our relationship with the multilateral agencies such as the IMF, the World Bank, and the Africa Development Bank, which basically are assisting other countries to raise new lines of credit, are not available at the moment in Zimbabwe. So in essence, we need to re-engage the international community, and in particular, the multilateral institutions.
That was economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930-5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Robert Mugabe should step down.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
The office of Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has confirmed he will run for another term. A spokesman Ruben Abati says in a statement that Mr. Jonathan will pick up his party's nomination form tomorrow for the February 2015 election. The formality was expected after the ruling People's Democratic Party nominated President Jonathan as its, quote, sole candidate last month. The president and PDP face a challenge from the opposition All Progressives Congress, which has persuaded some lawmakers and several state governors to switch parties over the last year. Mr. Jonathan has faced intense criticism for failing to stop Boko Haram militants who have killed thousands in the north and are holding more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped in April. On a more positive note, Nigerian authorities successfully halted an Ebola outbreak in the country's largest city, Lagos.
The rate of new Ebola infections in Liberia appears to be declining. WHO Assistant Director General Dr. Bruce Aylward says it could be a real trend, but the epidemic is far from over. Aylward says there may be as much as 25% per week reduction in cases in Liberia, but this is no time to let up. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has approved a strict quarantine-like monitoring for all U.S. troops returning from the Ebola relief mission in West Africa. President Obama was to meet Wednesday with his public health and national security teams about the government's Ebola response.
And United Nations Chief Ban Ki-moon is calling for action to prevent another famine in Somalia, where he says more than 3 million people are in need of humanitarian aid. Mr. Ban spoke today during a brief stop in the Somali capital of Mogadishu, part of a multi-nation tour throughout the Horn of Africa. The UN Secretary General said Somalia is making progress toward political stability, but he said he is very concerned about the humanitarian situation in the country and called for donors to increase the contributions.
The leader of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, says President Robert Mugabe must step down as the battle to succeed him is now a detriment to national development. The battle to succeed Mr. Mugabe is even shadowing Tsvangirai-led MDC Congress, which starts Friday. Factional fights in ZANU-PF have intensified after the entry into politics of President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace. Mrs. Mugabe has been on the campaign trail attacking Vice President Joyce Mujuru, pressing her to step down for allegedly plotting to oust the aging Mr. Mugabe. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says Women's League boss Opamu Chinguri will table a report on the First Lady's so-called Meet the People tour in the Politburo tomorrow. Mr. Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that it is not helpful to blame the opposition for failing to take advantage of the ZANU-PF crisis.
You know, why should I be visible? I'm not the government. Neither is the MDC the government. We are busy with our internal processes in the party. The national responsibility of ensuring that the country is being steered on the right direction is the ZANU-PF, which they are failing. We are not the government, and therefore we cannot answer for government shortcomings. When we are a government, then we can answer for our shortcomings. When we are in opposition, all we can point out is that the country is leaderless. There is a leadership vacuum, things are going our way, and to me, can't say, oh, because ZANU-PF is failing, what is MDC going to do about it? We can't do anything. We are not in government.
But are you not supposed to be showcasing your policies as it were to say?
That's what our Congress is all about. That's where we demonstrate our leadership and our alternative policies. To continue to shout in the midst of ZANU-PF confusion it's not going to help. What we can say is that we've got our Congress. It is one that is going to define the path of the party and the path of the country.
The MDC has also threatened to organize a street protest. Is that still an option?
Yes, it's still very much an option. Not a street protest, but to say that the country is in doldrums and that the people cannot just watch while they are being driven to the brink. It's up to the people to express themselves. That's what I was saying. And that expression may be done through actions, through protests, through whatever. But it's a constitutional right.
Your critics are saying the protests are Mr. Tsvangirai's means of remaining relevant and not really about the suffering of the masses.
I can't seek relevance through protests. I've been leader of this party for the last 15 years. I cannot seek relevance. If people do not appreciate my relevance, I don't think they will appreciate my relevance just because there's been a street protest.
That was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu on the line from Harare.
More than 60 non-governmental organizations are part of this year's annual Ideas Festival in Bulawayo, where representatives are set to hold various workshops and exhibitions designed to highlight Zimbabwe's current social, economic, and political challenges. Mele Dube of Bulawayo Agenda, conveners of the six-day event, which started Monday and ends Saturday, says that the NGOs drawn from all parts of the country are expected to create networks and share crucial information about current issues affecting the country. The theme of this year's event is Transformative Ideas for a Better Society. Dube tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that the NGOs will address accusations that they are now part of Zimbabwe's social, economic, and political problems.
This gives us the time to basically interface with the public and tell them who we are and what we do.
Now, there are some people who have always said that civil society has become a problem in Zimbabwe in the sense that it actually supports given political parties. Now, as you meet, do you discuss some of these issues?
Yes, we discuss some of these issues. So we're discussing, one, the operational and legislative environment for civil society. How best can we do our work without interference from the government? How best can we do our work without seemingly complementing by design the work of other stakeholders like political parties such that we are misconstrued or perceived as part of them? And then we're also moving on to have a debate among young people and war veterans in what we've called an intergenerational debate tomorrow. And then women will also be meeting to review how women have participated in the democratization processes and development processes. And then local government, EPCAS, will also meet to review the implementation of the constitution.
That was Bulawayo Agenda Acting Director Meli Dube speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe is one of the organizations participating in the 7th edition of the Ideas Festival. Vendors Union Director Samuel Wadzai tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they will use the platform to discuss issues affecting the increasing number of vendors in the country.
As the National Vendors Union, we are coming here for the first time, and there is a lot of expectation within the civil society movement for our organization really to deliver, because vendors are facing a lot of challenges, and we are going to take this opportunity seriously to share the vending gospel and say, no, this harassment that is going on a daily basis should stop, really. The government should come in and assist vendors instead of disrupting their activities. So, yes, we are going to take this opportunity to really share our strategies with our counterparts in the civil society and map a clear way forward in terms of how vendors should be treated.
We also understand that you are going to demonstrate at the festival.
I don't know if demonstrations are going to be one of the new strategies, but really this is going to be a platform for everyone to share ideas and to talk things.
That was National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai on the line with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
In In sports news, well, Chris, can things get any worse for Highlanders Football Club? Boso, again today we learned that they lost in their Premier Soccer League match, while rivals Dynamos remain top of the Castle Premier League with 53 points, following a 5-3 win against Harare City today. Anyway, Chris, can we have some of the results for today?
Yes, Sandy, like you said, the Highlanders team was beaten 1-3 by Wange, ZPC Kariba 3, Buffaloes 1, Caps United 0, and FC Platinum 0, Haumine 3, Shabani 1, Chicken Inn 1, Triangle 1, Bantu Rovers 3, Chapungu 2, Black Rhinos 2, Chiredzi 1.
Meanwhile, in other sports news, Chris, the South African Football Fraternity is mourning the loss of Bafana captain Senzo Meiwa, who was shot Sunday night in South Africa. Senzo was also the goalkeeper for Orlando Pirates and was at the height of his career during the time of his death. He was born in Durban in 1987 and he joined Orlando Pirates at the age of 13 in his junior league before turning pro in 2005. A former FC Cape Town player Eddie Guri, who is now based in Zimbabwe, whilst awaiting another opportunity to go out and play, soccer is a funny game, Chris. People keep going round and round. He says Senzo's death leaves a gaping hole in the football fraternity in South Africa that will be difficult to fill. He spoke earlier on with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe.
I'm feeling hurt at the moment with the passing of Senzo. We have been robbed of a superstar. We have been robbed of a gentleman, a leader. And we were not expecting this to happen to him anytime soon, because his career was about to rise at the moment. Both he was playing at the Bafana, at the national team, as team captain, as well as at Orlando Pirates, as team captain.
What do you think the late Senzo Meiwa will be most remembered for? What legacy does he leave, especially for footballers like yourself and other upcoming footballers?
Yeah, personally, I'll remember Senzo as an ever-smiling guy. Through watching him on TV, he was always smiling, he was always charismatic, and it's a big loss to everybody in the football fraternity.
And as a Zimbabwean player who was based in South Africa for some time, are you given any advice by clubs on security issues in South Africa when you do actually play in that country?
I would say on that one, no, but what happens is, as a footballer, you get to meet different people in different places, and you don't expect such things to happen to you, considering that you are a person who is always in the limelight. But in South Africa, these things have been happening, and it's happening not to footballers only, but to everybody, considering what happened to Lucky Dube as well. So South Africa is not a safe country at the moment, because everybody is living in fear. Even just an ordinary person is living in fear, considering what happened to Senzo.
That was former FC Cape Town player Eddie Guri speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe from Harare.
It's that time again, Sandy, where we have some mailbags. What do we have today?
Our first email, Chris, is a bit long, but it says, thank you for the wonderful program. I'm not happy about the Livetalk program because we miss the last part when you switch over to live streaming. The other problem is when we download Livetalk, the live streaming part is excluded. We use cell phones which are not compatible to live streaming, but we can download Livetalk. So please add the Livetalk streaming parts to the downloads. We don't want to miss anything, not even a single word. Thank you.
And then we have this one from Alistair Bandamavu Nyamaziro in Mayo, who says Mrs. Grace Mugabe should differentiate between the ZANU-PF women's wing and the government. We are already bracing for hard times.
A. Potera writes, why do we have two vice presidents in a small state like Zimbabwe, which is financially dying? We cannot keep quiet when our public funds are used for political settlement or differences of the concerned parties. What could have been the best democratic solution was to agree that after 5 or 10 years, a vice president or president should come from the other party in the agreement. There is dominance over the other, and this political dominance is costing the state expensively. Paying two vice presidents whose duties are duplicating one another's with exactly the same job description. The writer continues, ZANU-PF used or uses our funds to swallow ZAPU, which is wrong. ZANU should have used its strategy to deal with its political rivals, whom they hate, if that is the case. I don't understand what the unity code is spoken of if there is no more ZAPU in the government. Chris, unfortunately, time is not on our side. We have time enough to recap today's top stories.
Yes, and the strike by junior and middle-level government doctors continued today with no solution in sight to their grievances.
And Zambian President Michael Sata died in London yesterday, becoming the second head of state in Zimbabwe's northern neighbor to die in office.
That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night. I leave you in the capable hands of Ntonga Milinkomo and Chris Gande.